thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor George Meyer preaches a message from God's Word.
Graduation is a beautiful time in the life of a graduate and their family. It's kind of that scary time too, right? When the sense of this world is a lot bigger than just the confines of our home and maybe work and school. And so we're really excited for them. As a graduate leaves the student ministry and they head into the world of uncertainty, some will want to stay home, go to college. Others will be ambitious and want to leave and go out on their own. But we should recognize their achievement. High school, it may seem in our generation, in my generation and those after, that high school is just a skip or a jump in the education world, and you just move on to the next level of education. But for many of those in the world, a high school education just isn't possible. And so we want to congratulate them and encourage them to continue moving forward. For me, I remember when I graduated May 5th, 2005. Sounds like a long time ago. I mean, a very long time ago. Wow, I can't believe that. But I graduated from Osceola High School in Seminole, Florida, and it wasn't easy. I was not the grade A student, but my brothers and sisters were, so the bar was always high in my family, and I was at the bottom. But it's okay. I somehow managed to make it through, and I graduated in the top of my class, just at the very bottom top. But it's great. But let us continue to pray for our graduates. Let us pray for them, especially today as we're going to be recognizing them in the services. You know, after my senior year, after that graduation, I got an invitation to go to my first student camp I ever went to. And it was a huge camp, much like the one our students are going on right after graduation this year in the third week of June. For me, it was an incredible experience. It's the first time where I got to see a community of Christians outside of my church worshiping Jesus Christ among my age group. I never really grew up in the church. I was considered a baby Christian, you could say, at that time. But it was impressive just to see students engaging the gospel and asking questions and having leaders from outside of their church networks there to help encourage them to grow in the knowledge of the gospel. And so for me, it was a good time. Through that, some individuals from our student ministry continued to pour their lives into mine. As I went off to college, I was one of those brave souls that went off to Florida State and was a Seminole. I know some of you guys don't even know what Florida State is, but that's okay. It's a good school. But no, I think the greatest question we have to ask, especially as a graduate going off and being ambitious into this world, is what do I need? What do I really need to know to follow Jesus daily? And so I hope that we can answer that question this morning. And so my main thesis for this morning is that to follow Jesus daily requires you to follow him with all of your heart, with all of your hands, and with all of your feet. And so to follow Jesus daily requires you to follow him with your heart, hands, and feet. This morning we're going to be in the text, Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 35. And so if we think, and if we're honest with one another, being a Christian is sometimes confusing, difficult, right? Challenging. It's not always easy. And if we're really honest, it's not always fun. But I think if we listen to the words of Jesus, those words that he gave Peter that morning, we'll realize that the gospel-centered life isn't about our own pleasures, but it's that of glorifying God. Last week, Pastor Brady gave us a daunting statistic. If you look into that research, anywhere from 60 to 80%, about 7 out of 10 students their freshman year will leave the faith which they grew up in. Can you believe that? 7 out of 10. You guys are the lucky ones, right? Here this morning, pursuing the Lord. But 7 out of 10. For a youth pastor, that's a scary statistic. We have somewhere between 30 to 50 students every week come through these doors. And for me to think only a handful of them will continue to walk with Christ as they leave the student ministry, it's a burden on my heart to make sure they know the gospel even more and that they're surrounded by community, that they're surrounded by true biblical community so that they'll be able to live the mission God has for their life. And so this morning, let us go to our text in Mark chapter 8, starting here in verse 32. And so Jesus is calling the crowd around him and his disciples, and he says to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for your word, God, that you would speak these to your disciples, but Father, it also speaks to us through your Spirit. We thank you for these inspirational words. Teach us this morning to really know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Help us to identify with our heart what it means to follow you evermore. Help us to use our hands for the work to participate in fulfilling the greatest call of a believer, which is to give you glory. And Father, help us point our feet this morning that we may step by step walk in the ways that you have called us to. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. If you don't know this story, Jesus had just finished a conversation with Peter, and he asked Peter who people thought he was. And Peter gives him some answers, and Jesus says, "Well, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you are the Christ." And Jesus says those words, "Well, come around and let me tell you what it means to know that I am the Christ." If we want our life, we have to lose it. That's what Jesus is saying. And if we lose it, we have it. It kind of seems a confusing statement here, right? It really sounds like a bad 2008 investment, right? I mean, like, if you have so much in a property, you have to gain, and then to gain it, then you have to lose it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But what Jesus is really getting here is not about this material wealth. It's not about this sense of pride or the sense of status in a community. What he's talking about is a matter of the heart. And he does this a couple times. We see this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. He says, Jesus said to them, those who were around, he says, "To you, or if you would be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So come, follow me." When he's with his, calling his disciples on that shoreline, he says to them, "Hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And the interesting thing is the disciples left their fishing poles. Everything they had, they left, and they followed him. And this illustration happens several times throughout the New Testament as Jesus calls his people to follow him. It's this great exchange that we are to leave things behind. And so to follow me is to exchange what the heart is invested in. It's what you craft your hands with and where you point your feet to what it means to follow Christ. Now, I know it is not just enough to believe Jesus. I think even Satan and the demons believe who Jesus is. They know he's Lord, but they don't follow him. They're not his disciples. And so I think if we really want to know what it means to follow Jesus this morning, I think we can look at three ways in which we can live the Christ-centered life to follow Jesus daily. And so we'll look at those real quick, and then we'll go into communion this morning. First is that we would deny yourself daily. Deny yourself daily. That kind of sounds cliche, but if we look here in verse 34, it says, and calling the crowd, not just the disciples, but the crowd around him. And he said, if anyone were to come after me, he must, or let him deny himself, deny himself. One writer put it this way, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. By doing this, we are following his example. And becoming a man, Jesus denied himself the glories of heaven. To fulfill the law, he denied himself the pleasures of sin. And in dying on a cross, he denied himself the protection of pain. Not just physical pain, but also spiritual anguish by being forsaken by his Father. Now Jesus calls us to deny ourselves so that we too may work for or may do the work that God has called us to do. So let us first be careful not to assume that we're just giving up some pleasures to follow Jesus. The idea of denying the self isn't just to give up a pleasure here and follow Jesus. What this passage is not saying is that I have to sacrifice something in order to gain spiritual credit. It's not really what the passage is saying. It's more than just denying a kind of purchase of money to put more offering, more money in the offering plate. It's much more. It's a condition of the heart. Look, these are the things of God are good, right? These things are good. But we ought to deny ourselves the pleasures of the world to follow Jesus. I think there's some truth in that. But what Jesus is doing is here is he's looking at the heart of those who are around him. And he's saying, listen, if you would deny yourselves, by denying yourselves that you would grow in the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By examining our hearts as if we were a surgeon peeling away the infected areas of our heart that cause sin and decay in our lives. By peeling those away and filling them back with the things of God found in his word. Are we denying the temporary cravings of sexual images that we may fill our hearts with the everlasting love of Jesus Christ? Are we denying ourselves racial prejudices that our hearts may be filled with the love that God has for all that he created in his image? Are we denying the things of this world every day to fill our hearts with the riches of God's righteousness and gloriousness? By righteousness, we see that God, as the one who justifies at the cross, he's the one that justifies for our sin at the cross. By gloriousness, we see that God has an unconditional joy. And we ought to have an unconditional joy for who God is, looking to him, looking to him as if he deserves all the glory and not of our own being. We must examine our hearts every day through prayer and the reading of God's word. Where is your heart this morning? I want to ask you that. But may I encourage you to examine the condition of your heart before we take up the elements this morning, before we take communion, because I think it's important that our hearts are set right with God, that we're denying the sin that has plagued our soul, and we're taking up the cross. So that leads us to our second point. First, that we deny ourselves daily. Second, we take up the cross and deny ourselves. Or we take up the cross daily. If we look in that passage, Jesus said, if you would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. I find it interesting here that Jesus would use these words. I think if we think about it for a moment, these words are somewhat important to our culture as Christians and to our faith. But if we go back in time and we are a participant of one of those sitting around Jesus and Jesus says these words, I think we'd have a little bit different thought process. We would see that the cross wasn't the thing that Jesus would die on. No, the people in the crowd and the disciples probably really didn't grasp the idea that Jesus was going to die on a cross. But Jesus says these words to take up their cross daily. The image that can float in the mind of those sitting around is that of the time they saw a criminal carrying the cross with his hands on his back, going up to a spot in which he would spend the last few moments of his life in pain in agony as he's being executed by the Roman government. And so I think for a moment here, what is Jesus trying to convey to his people? And what I think he's trying to say here is that we ought to take up our cross. We ought to take up our cross, and what we do with our hands and our activities and our actions and our work should reflect the things of God and not really the things of this world. And we should examine that daily. How does that work daily? How does that work daily? No doubt this is a difficult truth. And to the believers, I believe that the disciples around him sitting there would have seen that. But Mark puts this in his gospel because he knows that those who believe are going to be reflecting on this truth. And I think he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because we can look to the cross of Christ and we can see what Jesus sacrificed. We saw that he did deny himself the riches of heaven to become as a man, to be hated by the people which he comes to save, and to die on a cross. And so I think if we examine this idea of taking up the cross, we can see that it causes us to sacrifice the things that we love to do in this world. And I'm not saying we don't go fishing or riding on a boat on Saturday morning, but I do think the way we treat people and the way we work in our businesses ought to be way above reproach. That we ought to sacrifice our time and energy to glorify God in all that we do, even if we're a bank teller, grocery attendant, or a school teacher. To deny yourselves is to show that Jesus is the Christ. But to take up your cross is to show the world that who you really follow, who you really follow. And so first, we saw that we ought to deny ourselves daily, and we ought to take up our cross daily. But third, we ought to follow Jesus daily. We ought to follow Jesus daily. If we take our feet and we point to Jesus, into God's direction, and we walk in his direction. Paul uses this analogy quite often. In one of my favorite books of the Bible, I have 66 of them, but one of my favorite books of the Bible is Ephesians, and Paul has this incredible statement in Ephesians chapter 4 where he urges the believers to walk worthy of the calling that they've received, this calling to give God glory, this calling to honor God above all. And so you think back to those ordinary fishermen as they dropped all their possessions to follow Jesus. They followed him. They truly followed him. Some of them made mistakes. They weren't the greatest. But I think if we reflect on our own lives, we'll realize that we make mistakes. But the greatest pursuit of the Christian life is to continue to follow him and pursue him at all costs. Cost of integrity. We should not throw our integrity out the window to impress the world, but we should follow Jesus to uphold our integrity. What I think we see here is an interesting picture that Jesus is painting of the gospel. I think what we see here is with Jesus' own words as he's painting the gospel. See, Jesus denied himself his position, his throne room, his heavenly kingdom, to come and be born as a man, to live the perfect life, so perfect that even the governing officials of that time, Pontius Pilate, for one of them, is recorded saying, hey, this guy has no sin. So he lived this perfect life, which we strive to do. And if we're really honest with one another, we're not perfect. But Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and truly follow me. Jesus' heart was for God to be glorified. He followed him at all costs. He knew what it meant to go after the heart of the Father, and that's why we must follow Jesus. Jesus took up his cross. He took up his cross and became the ultimate sacrifice for his church. No longer did the people of God have to administer temporary sacrifices to be forgiven for a sin that was only momentarily until they walked away from the altar and tripped and stumbled and said some profane words. The sacrifices were now, for those who believe, those sacrifices are now everlasting as they confess that Jesus is Lord. His death was displayed on the cross that demonstrates his perfect submission to the Father. His death, though undeserving, was in place for our death, which we deserved. The death of the sin that infects our souls. It is our death that he died for, our sin that he was sacrificed for. Let us remember this, especially this morning as we take the elements. His hands were nailed that our hands would not be. His hands were nailed that our hands would not be. So take your hands and follow Jesus in all the things you do every day. Now Jesus pointed his feet to the Father, and followed him in all ways. He rose from the grave victorious because, see, Jesus couldn't be bound by death. He claims victory over it, as Brady mentioned that Easter morning. He conquered death, and now he has authority in heaven, and he has authority over even you. Now he's in the throne room governing and has authority over his church, the bride. And he waits for us to stand in his presence with our feet pointing towards his. Do you see the gospel here in Jesus' words? That we ought to live out the gospel-centered life day to day. We must deny ourselves and fill our hearts with the things of God. Let us use our hands to take up the cross that we may deny ourselves and truly live for God. And at all costs, let us point our feet to the feet of Jesus. To follow Jesus daily requires you to follow him with all your heart, with all your feet, and with all your hands and with all your feet. Jesus proved that he was willing to do anything that he would ask us to do. And so, in closing, let me ask you this final question. Are you following Jesus? If it didn't cost you to follow Jesus today, then you didn't follow him today. So let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the gospel. We thank you for the cross. God, that you did die for our sins, that we wouldn't be held to the punishment of our own actions. You substituted yourself for us. What a great thing, Father, and we give you the glory for that. And this morning, as we come and remember that, may you continue to work in our hearts so that, Father, tomorrow we would not be the same Christian we are today. And so, Father, that next week we would not be the same Christian we are on Monday. And, Father, that next year, we are not the same Christian we are this year, but Father, we are one that pursues you daily, daily, looking at the cross and examining our lives to how we ought to deny ourselves, to know the things of God, to take up our cross, to sacrifice our lives, to follow you. And Father, that we may ought to point our feet, that we ought to point our feet to yours, just as Jesus walked in obedience. May we also walk in obedience. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
This concludes a message from Temple Baptist Church. To find out more information, visit us online at www.tbcgainesville.org.